The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 7, text number 2, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on June 12th, 2016, in London, England.
Today we're going to speak about something that affects all of us. It's called the human form of life. That's where we're at. How to properly utilize it is practically unknown in the modern day world. And therefore we're suffering very much because of this ignorance. And the whole world is suffering because of this ignorance. So the knowledge I'm presenting today is the most essential knowledge for your personal happiness and for the sanity of this planet. So hear carefully these words of wisdom which I'm bringing to you from Lord Sri Krishna. Apply them sincerely. Apply them carefully. Apply them diligently, patiently, and enthusiastically. And we guarantee your absolute success. Repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Lord Sri Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text number 2, as follows. Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyam yasheshyatah yad gyatva nehabhujyon yaj gyatavyam avishishyate. I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. Our beloved Srila Prabhupada has given a wonderful purport for this verse as follows. Complete knowledge includes knowledge of the phenomenal world, the spirit behind it, and the source of both of them. This is transcendental knowledge. The Lord wants to explain the above-mentioned system of knowledge because Arjuna is Krishna's confidential devotee and friend. In the beginning, in the fourth chapter, this explanation was given by the Lord and is again confirmed here. Complete knowledge can be achieved only by the devotee of the Lord in disciplic succession directly from the Lord. Therefore, one should be intelligent enough to know the source of all knowledge, who is the cause of all causes and the only object of meditation in all types of yoga practice. When the cause of all causes becomes known, then everything knowable becomes known, and nothing remains unknown. The Vedas, Mundaka Upanishad 1:3 said, Kasmin ubhagavan vigyate sarvamidam vijnanam vavatiti.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shri Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakon Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Svaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadishatarine.
So, how important is this Vedic wisdom? The Bible says there's something more than this. Jesus says in the Bible, there is something more. The Islamic literatures also say there's something more than the Quran. But here in Gita, Krishna says, now I have given you everything. There is nothing more beyond this. This is why Krishna also states in Bhagavad Gita 9.2, Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam. This is the topmost knowledge, the most secret of all secrets. So what then is the purpose of our human life? To understand this knowledge and to apply this knowledge. Anyone who does not understand this knowledge and apply this knowledge factually is not even a human being. Our first birth is from our mother and father. Our second birth is from Guru and Krishna. That is called Dvija, twice born, you see. To be actually a human being, you have to be twice born. This is Vedic philosophy. Unless you have twice born, you have not reached a human life, you see. And simply be born by mother and father and to engage in sense gratification. That is the pastime of the entire world population at the present moment. Because they have not understood the spiritual reality which underlies the material reality and how to actually live in harmony with, in accordance with, how to live in touch with that spiritual reality in their daily lives. They are not qualifying themselves to go back to the spiritual kingdom. Nor are they even qualifying themselves to take a human birth in their next lifetime. The human birth is described, this duty is described in the Vedanta Sutra. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you have a human form, therefore you are meant to become self-realized. You are meant to inquire about what is the absolute truth. But this knowledge is not given. I remember my freshman year in college. I just wanted to know what is the purpose of my existence. But there was no courses, no professors who gave that answer. We were just told, well, you got to pick your major. You want to major in biology, you want to major in psychology, this ology, that ology. But what's the point? You work hard to make good grades, to get a good degree, you get a good job, you get a good wife, get some good kids, to get a good house and get a good retirement and a good grave and be buried 6 feet under or cremated now if you're Hindu. You see, and get some good flowers. If you're buried, some good flowers on your grave every year until they forget about you. What's the point? This was my inquiry. This is my confusion as a college student, because none of the professors told me why I exist. What is the purpose of my existence? But luckily, I found one professor. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Sri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, who could actually educate me as to why I exist. They don't tell you why you exist. But actually, children often have these kind of questions. They say, don't worry about that. Just make good grades in school. They're told, don't worry about that now. Just do well in school. Become materially successful. But no one ever answers these questions because people don't know how to answer these questions. Children naturally have sometimes questions like this, but the parents don't know how to answer the question. They don't know how to answer. So therefore, a spiritual master is essential. You must have guru. Guru is essential. Tasmad gurum prapadde cha jagasya shriya uttamam. You must have a spiritual master. Tad viganartam sagurum eva bigatshat. If you want to know the actual purpose of your existence, you absolutely must have guru. In this shloka, it is stated, eva bigatshat. If you've studied Sanskrit grammar, you know there's different verbal endings. You take the same verbal root, and you put different endings on the verb, and it changes the meaning. Like, gachati, he goes. Gachanti, they go. Gachchat, must go. Is it? So, evam bigatschat. Vedas say you must go to Guru. You must be enlightened by the bona fide spiritual master, otherwise you're animal. So when you go to the bona fide spiritual master, how does he enlighten you? Does he give some mental speculation, twirling a lotus flower in his fingers, some bogus guru? No. Spiritual master gives you the teachings of Krishna. Whatever Krishna says, he repeats in a way that is comprehensible to you. Desha Kala Patra. The spiritual master enlightens you according to time, place, and circumstance. He knows the art of how to apply the Vedic wisdom for you, how to custom fit it for you, so that you can comprehend it, so that you can apply it according to your own particular situation. This is the expertise of the bona fide guru. He sends one disciple to the Vajrayi room, another he sends out for preaching work. Or some he sends for both. He sends one to be learn to be a sannyasi, the other to be a grihastha, according to the mentality and the nature. He engages the disciple in such a way the disciple will become perfect in Krishna consciousness. The underlying essence of Krishna consciousness means you have to harmonize with Krishna. Krishna is Purusha, the enjoyer, and we are Prakriti, the enjoyed. Just like all the bodily parts cooperate to give the stomach the enjoyment it wants from foodstuffs, and benefit from the nutritional value of giving the stomach the foodstuffs. In the same way, Krishna is compared to the stomach, and we are all compared to the bodily parts. If the hand tries to enjoy separately from the stomach, by not giving it the food, thinking, why should I feed the stomach? I'll simply squish this gulab jamun between my fingers, and this way I will enjoy the gulab jamun. Will the hand get any nutritional value from that gulab jamun by simply squeezing it within the fingers? No. It's a sticky mess all over the hand. So our disease in the material world is we try to enjoy separately from God, which is not possible. Therefore, everybody is frustrated. We are frustrated in our attempts to be happy because we're going about it in the wrong way. Spiritual Master, therefore, enlightens you what is the proper way that you can live your life in such a way to become unlimitedly happy. I remember many years ago, before I became a devotee, I was working at a summer camp as a guitar counselor, teaching the kids guitar lessons. And one of the other counselors, I remember she said, "You have to take the good with the bad." That was her philosophy. But I didn't like that idea. I don't want anything bad. I just want good, you see. Who wants something bad? Anybody like bad things? Anybody volunteers for some unfortunate things to happen to you this week? Anybody would like to volunteer for misfortune? No. No one wants to have bad things happening to them, have bad experiences. Everybody wants simply good. I want the good and nothing but good. That's actually what we desire. And that's the natural position. One who is fixed in Krishna consciousness experiences nothing but good in every minute. He never has a bad day, a bad experience. For a Krishna conscious person, everything is experienced as the loving mercy of Krishna to bring his devotee closer and closer to him, step by step by step. Actually, that's already happening, but we don't have the vision to see it. You see, we're lacking that vision. That is the difficulty. The spiritual master gives the disciple that vision. That state of vision is called Krishna consciousness. We have this movement, the Krishna consciousness movement, which is meant to give the members of the movement and society in general this vision of how to see everything in relationship with Krishna at every minute. The people are so foolish, they say, "We don't want to hear your dogma. We just want to believe in science." But actually, science is the most dogmatic thing that's ever been invented. Actually, one of your scientists here in the UK, he's written a book called Scientific Dogma to expose how rascal these scientists actually are. You see? They have their dogmatic viewpoint, and they have, you can't violate it. You see? You have to follow their dogma, otherwise you're out, you're considered a fanatic. You're a big scientist here in the UK, Stephen Hawking. He says, everything comes out of nothing. And that's supposed to be science, you see. But where's the scientific proof? Here you, in this country, you worship Charles Darwin also, I've seen on your currency. You have a big temple down in London, that Museum of Natural Science, a big temple. That's the temple here, you see. All the currency, Charles Darwin. We all come from the apes. There's not one shred of evidence. It's simply dogma. There's never been any proof of evolutionary transformation. It's never been discovered. The missing link is still missing. You see? The missing link will always remain a missing link. Because there is no such thing. It's simply dogma. But this kind of garbage is what's being taught in the schools. This is how we're being educated in the material world. Simply dogma. That's why we have to hear from Krishna. The science of Krishna is real. It is not dogma. Krishna is the very foundation of existence itself. Krishna states in Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. Krishna is the foundation of reality itself. We exist and everything exists simply by dint of Krishna manifesting us from himself. That's all. That's what existence is. It's Krishna's manifestation. And to deny Krishna, it's like taking a knife and just cutting your own throat. It's a suicidal civilization. It collapses on itself because it's based on a false principle. What's going on now is simply what's left over from the previous God-conscious civilization that existed. It was God consciousness that created the civilization we have now. And that's why the thing is crumbling, because we're giving up God. So they may give up God, that's their business. But at least we should not give up God. At least we should not give up God. If they want to commit suicide by denying their relationship with God, that's their business. We'll try to convince them, but at least we should not give up God. We should not give up our relationship with God. If they want to be fools, they can be fools, but we should not be fools. We should understand, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching us, Jivera Savrupahai Krishnera Nityadas. The constitutional position of the living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. So your purpose of human life then, you have drifted far, far away from a loving relationship with Krishna. For millions of lifetimes, you have drifted further and further and further away from your original loving relationship with Krishna. Therefore, the purpose of your human form of life is to get back to where you once belonged. Get back to your original natural identity as the servant of God, the servant of Krishna. This is your purpose in human life. Kindly understand this. Kindly practice this. Kindly perfect this. And anxiety, the word anxiety will be scratched out of your dictionary. You won't be there. There'll be no such thing as anxiety in your life except one: how to save these poor souls on this planet. That's it. The spiritual master has no personal anxiety. His only anxiety is how to save these people who are going down to the animal kingdom in their next life. That's his only anxiety. So perhaps there's some questions, I can try to answer them. Yes.
You said human beings, they don't follow Krishna, they will go into the animal kingdom.
Yes. One who doesn't follow religious principles, who engages in sense gratification, which is the business of animals, he could be an animal in his next life, as a
man. When they become an animal, they know that they are in suffering, or
the animals have no consciousness like a human being. They're just running. They can't analyze their position like a human being can. They don't have that intelligence. The animal can only think, eat, sleep, mate, and defend. He can't think, what is the purpose of my existence? He doesn't have a brain to do that.
If they don't remember, or if they have no consciousness, then someone can say that because let me enjoy this world. If I become in the next life, if I become anywhere, because I don't have a consciousness, I won't suffer, so I don't remember.
So the animals are suffering like anything. They're in a state of constant anxiety. You ever seen a dog eating from his dog bowl? He's always looking like this. He's in constant anxiety someone will come and steal the food away. You've seen the dogs when they eat? They look like this. They're in constant anxiety someone will come and steal their bowl of dog food away from them. Animals are in constant anxiety. Constantly in state of fear. They're just totally in state of fear, animals. So do you want to be like them? You better become Krishna conscious. Next question. Yeah.
Maharaj, you said that we are different from animal. From animal, like our person is different. If people, like as a human being, we have that consciousness. Why people that indulge to do something wrong? Why not they going to Krishna consciousness?
Why people are not taking the Krishna consciousness? Because they don't. Poor fund of knowledge. They don't know. They don't realize it. They think Krishna consciousness is some kind of pie in the sky. They don't think it's real. They take the bodily existence to be the all in all. They're completely duped. They've been miseducated. My dad said, "Son, happiness is a job well done." Well, that was his philosophy. Just do your job well, be happy. But I was a very good student in school. I had studied very well, made good grades, but I was miserable. So there's so many false philosophies out there, and people are duped by them. But I didn't actually, these philosophies don't work. People are miserable. They think, well, I just have a little bit more, then I'll be happy. They're always thinking happiness is around the corner. A little bit more income. You see, I'm single now, when I get married, then I'll be happy. Or I'm married now, when I get divorced, I'll be happy. It's always out there. It's like the carrot in front of the donkey. They never get the carrot. They're always thinking, I just a little bit more, a little of this, a little of that, and then they never actually get it. They're going out and they're thinking they will be happy when they have this thing, and they get that and they're not happy. When I have this thing, then I'll be happy. And this way, it's always just beyond their reach. Happiness, genuine happiness, is always beyond their reach. And they go on this way, being misled by politicians, by entertainers, by educators, scientists, philosophers. They're being misguided by everyone. We need to have, Prabhupada said, all the executive heads should be Mahabhagavats, like Parikshit Maharaj. You see. Because then everything will become proper. We need to have proper prime ministers, proper presidents, proper professors, proper every department should be headed by Mahabhagavats, enlightened devotees, who know how to see Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. And when they give education, it will have very great potent value to help people realize who they are. People are being kept in ignorance by these so-called educators or just miseducators. Question? Yeah? What's the question?
They just pray for their love.
Yes, even people who believe in God don't know the science of God. Because instead of taking God as their master, they take God as their servant. They think, God, give me this. Their mantra is, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Like that song, you know? Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadish Hari. You see, they approach God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. I pointed this to one gentleman in Malaysia, one very nice Hindu gentleman. He was offended, but I sing that to my kids every night. Not that version, but the original version. But I showed him the verses where actually you're praying God to give you things. And he said, oh yeah, you're actually right. So now he says Hare Krishna instead. Hare Krishna instead. You see. So yes, I was raised to be God conscious, but how was I trained as a Christian boy? My mother said, little Stevie, what do you want for Christmas? I said, Mommy, I'd like a pair of cowboy boots. She said, well, little Stevie, you know, every night you must pray to God for your cowboy boots. Every night, dear God, please give me a pair of cowboy boots for Christmas. And what did I have under the tree on Christmas morning? A pair of cowboy boots. Then my mother wanted me to believe in God, so she bought a pair of cowboy boots so I would believe in God. This is how they're taught, you see. That's how I was taught as a Christian boy, you see. They take God as, you know, the wishing well. He's your wishing well. But actually, God is your well-wisher, but he's not your wishing well. You understand? Instead of saying, even in the Bible, it's there, our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. You see, Vaishnavas don't say, my dear Lord, please give me my daily chapatis. He said, we don't pray, my God, you give me. No, we pray, how can I serve you? That is Vaishnava. You see. That is the proper relationship with God. Not how you can serve me, but how I can serve you. It's better to be a materialistic religionist than an atheist, of course. But 1,000 times better to be an actual spiritualist instead of a material religionist. Be an actual spiritualist by learning the art of how to engage everything in Krishna's service, servants of the Supreme Person. That is human life. To take God as your order supplier, that's the common thing in every religion. Christianity, Hinduism, Islam, Judaism, Shinto, whatever. And they're all approaching, they're going to the temple and praying for this and that and this and that and this and that. But that is a big mistake. God has already given you everything. Ananyashchintayanto mang yejana paryavasate tesham nachapi yuktanam yogachemam bahamyaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. Therefore, just fully give yourself to Krishna. And whatever you need for his service, he'll give you everything. You have no anxiety about anything. You simply fully absorb yourself. Now, my dear Lord Krishna, I am your completely surrendered servant. You engage me however you like, with my every thought, word, and deed, in all times, places, and circumstances, for all of eternity. Take up that mood of complete, total surrender to the Supreme Person, and I guarantee you this, he'll take really good care of you. You'll be amazed at what happens when you take up the mood of pure bhakti within your heart. You'll be absolutely amazed how the whole world changes for you. Try it. Take up the mood of pure bhakti. I challenge every one of you here today. Take up this mood of pure bhakti. Embrace it fully. And see the wonderful transformation you'd experience in your life. I guarantee you, you'll have the most amazing future. You couldn't believe that you could be so happy in this world. you'll find yourself to be the happiest person in the whole universe when you take up this mood of complete, total submission to Krishna. Next question. Yeah. How do you make the transformation? That's called sadhana bhakti. Prema, pure bhakti can be achieved in a moment. Maharaj Kadvanga did it within a minute, but for most of us it's a gradual process. So that process is given by Srila Rupa Goswami. The Nectar of Devotion is a summary study of his great work, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That process of awakening is summarized in three steps. Take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. The spiritual master is one who trains you and teaches you how to enter into that mood. You take shelter of him, number one. Number two, you formalize that shelter, which means now I'm your servant, I follow your instructions. You see, that's the mood of the disciple. I'm fully under your order, you train me up, I'm your student, you tell me what to do, I follow you. That's taking shelter. And then when you formalize that with a vow, that's called initiation. When the spiritual master sees you're really serious now, you're willing to really follow his instructions without deviation, then he'll formally initiate you as his disciple. And then the next, now there's a contract between you and the guru. The guru's made the commitment, now I will deliver you from this material world if you follow my instructions carefully, sincerely. The third step is then you have to do your side, you have to obey your spiritual master. By being fully obedient to your spiritual master, with your every thought, word, and deed, in all times, places, and circumstances, those three things then will, that will do it. The spiritual master engages you in chanting regularly the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. At least 16 times, 16 rounds a day on the Japa Mala bead. He forbids you to engage in activities which bring you back to bodily consciousness, illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. And he instructs you, now you must learn to chant these holy names without any offense. You must always be respectful to all Vaishnavas. You must never think that the name of Krishna is the same as the name of the demigods like Durga or Shiva or Brahma or Indra or Ganesh. You must never disobey the orders of the spiritual master. In this way, he gives you instructions how to perfect your chanting. So the chanting is actually the gauge by which you can see your level of advancement. How pure is your chanting? Can you fully absorb yourself in nam meditation? Go deep into it, or is your mind dancing like a monkey from branch to branch to branch? Is it? So as you master the art of japa mantra meditation, you'll find that you're actually having an awakening of your eternal spiritual identity coming from within you, which takes you beyond this material existence of male, female, white, black, Indian, American, British, or whatever it may be. You actually come back into your original consciousness gradually as Krishna's eternal servant, one of his associates in the spiritual world. That when you become mature, you actually realize who you are in Krishna's pastimes. We don't jump to that artificially. That's called sahajism. Imagining that we're this or that. No. Now you simply know that I'm the eternal servant of my spiritual master, and let me perfect my relationship of total surrender to my spiritual master. That relationship will continue even in the spiritual world. You will be there, your spiritual master will be there, and you will know, this is my guru, this is the one who saved me, I'm eternally indebted to him, and I must always serve him. Even in the spiritual world, that relationship will continue. Any other questions? What's our cutoff time? 2 o'clock? We start a little late.
Another 10 minutes.
Okay. Where's my flashlight? There it is. It is very important, offenseless chanting, how effectively not to make offenses, especially 1 in 10. It's really summarized very nicely in the Upadeshamrita, I think it's mantra 7. Syat Krishna nama charitari satapta vidya pito patapta vasya nasya davachikanu kinvandana nanuridang kadishai vajushta savikramad babita dagamula hantri. And the holy name, character, and pastimes of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So note, carefully chanting, that's the key. Chant every day and do it as carefully as you can. That's the key of how you'll conquer over everything that's in your way of becoming a pure devotee. Careful chanting is the key. And regularly every day. It is difficult because we need to have association. Sometimes naturally offenses coming out. Well, therefore, chanadapi sanichena tararapi sahishnuna manina manadena kirtaniya sadahiri. In association, you must learn how to become humble. Don't be puffed up. Learn how to become humble. Sometimes we're corrected and we don't like it. We're chastised and we don't like it. We get angry. Well, we have to learn how to appreciate it when we're corrected. And that is the greatest blessing. If another devotee points out my faults, that's when I should become the most appreciative of that association. Is it? Every time I'm corrected, I get angry and I become offensive. Then what am I doing? Here I am trying to light a fire and I'm pouring water on it at the same time. Do not commit Vaishnava Parada. Always be respectful to devotees. Even if there's some difference of opinion on the philosophical issue. It's like in ISKCON sometimes we have philosophical debates. One devotee has this viewpoint, another devotee has that viewpoint. We have to always respect and love all the devotees, even if we disagree with them. Even if we think they're wrong. You see? There are sometimes differences of opinion. It's like some Vaishnava acharyas say the Yajurveda is the original Veda. Some say the Atharva Veda is the original Veda. But do they have a war over it? No. We just go with what Prabhupada put in his books. Prabhupada in his books say the Atharva Veda. The Yajurveda. So we say, okay, we take Yajurveda as the original Veda. Because Prabhupada said. So when there's any... if there's any disagreements, we just go what Prabhupada said in his books. That's the most authoritative place. If there's some disagreement, just read the books, see what Prabhupada says, and that resolves it. So, are there any more questions? Yes. I can't. Can you speak a little louder, please?
Like the people mandatorily go to the material colleges.
Yeah, people are going to universities and colleges.
The money and they learn
for material education to make money, okay.
Just for the body maintenance.
For bodily maintenance.
So, why they find difficulty? difficulty to go to a spiritual master to learn the spiritual science.
Oh, okay. So the question is, everybody's thousands and millions of people are going to the universities to get a degree so they can make money at a better livelihood. Why they can't hear from bona fide spiritual master? It's due again to the Prabhupada said the poor fund of knowledge, because they think they are their bodies. They think spirituality is just some kind of a folklore, some fable. Really. They take it as some folklore, some dogma, sentimental dogma for people who are religion is for some sentimentalists who are not very intelligent. That's the propaganda. Some weak-minded people need a psychological crutch. They go to the temple. Those who are really strong and intelligent, they don't need God. They don't need religion. They just need a good degree so they can make good money. Computer science or whatever it may be. That's their philosophy. They're completely engrossed in ignorance. They don't realize who they are. They take the body as the self. And they don't understand. They can't analyze. They don't intelligently psychoanalyze themselves even. I can psychoanalyze myself. I remember when I was a little baby in the crib back in about 1949 or something like that, peering out of the crib at a new invention that had just been introduced to the world called a TV set. A little black and white TV set. I remember peering out of my crib. Now, where's that baby's body that was looking out of the crib at a little TV set? It's long gone, but yet I remember that experience. So if I psychoanalyze myself, I can understand, well, I don't have that body, but there's something here that remembers that experience as being a baby in the crib. So that means I'm not the body. I'm the soul seated within these changes of body, you see. So these people are not very intelligent. They don't actually psychoanalyze themselves. They go on an illusion. And therefore, they're not happy. They're miserable in spite of their big, big degrees. Just like one gentleman in Hungary. He had a good degree, a good job. He was so miserable, he walked down to the bridge to jump off and commit suicide. He was going to end it all. He had wife, kids, everything. A good high-paying job. He was so miserable, he just walked down to the bridge. He's going to jump off the bridge. But on the way to commit suicide, there was a devotee out on Sankirtan who gave him a book. And it saved his life. Actually, that devotee had always worked on the other side of the street. But that day, for some reason, he said, I think I should go to the other side of the street. Something told him, today I must go to the other side of the street. As soon as he did, that man approached him. And that man got a book and it saved his life, you see. So that's why this book distribution is so important. Distributing these books. People are suffering like anything. If they can just get this knowledge, everything can be transformed. That's what happened to me. I was so miserable. I didn't know how to be happy. I had some idea to make the world happy, but I didn't even have happiness myself. You see? So, this knowledge, one has to have Guru, one has to have Krishna, and then your life becomes perfect if you learn how to follow them perfectly. Anything else? Our time is up now. So, we thank you all for. You all are the serious ones. The others kind of drifted away, but you are all the serious ones. So I congratulate all of you serious hearers who've stuck it out for the whole lecture. May you all be blessed on your path of spiritual awakening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.